About 1 million votes of Labour Party was removed from Rivers. Same thing in Lagos, same thing in Plateau. If you just pick those three states, add up what was taken away from Labour Party, we practically won that election.
So Labour Party insists it won in 2023. It's been over 2 years since the contested election in Nigeria, and the fight is not over. The party still believes it holds the key to changing Nigeria's future.
Supporters say that Peter Obi's star is still rising, but is he the man to watch in 2027 elections, or is he just a bright light fading in the distance?
Peter Obi is not the first political leader that came with so much vibe, so much spirit, so much enthusiasm, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I, for one, am tired of failed promises.
So what's Labour Party's plan to stop President Bola Tinubu from securing a second term in office?
The way we are going to conduct ourselves will be totally different from what we did in 2023. Because in Hausa land, we have a saying that says that when the music changes, the dance steps have to change to suit the music.
But how has the obedient movement mastered the rhythms, and how can they change the steps of the rhythm in the recent times?
And more importantly, has the Labour Party transformed into a political powerhouse, or is it still just chasing the ghost of 2023? I am Mimi Mefonehu, and thank you for joining us today Under the Baobab.
And I'm Jojo Kachi. Welcome to Under the Baobab. On this show, we break down complex issues and make them personal.
And we are here Under the Baobab every Friday of the week to talk to policymakers, to leaders, and also politicians across Africa. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel, DW Africa, so that you can be part of the conversation.
Well, today we are diving into Nigerian politics and the future of the Labour Party with someone who has been at the centre of it all and many people know well.
That's right, George. We are joined by Senator Nenadi Usman. She is acting chair of the Labour Party, former finance minister of Nigeria and a former senator.
Yes. So let's get straight to it, Mimi. In 2023, the Labour Party rise was rapid, especially among the young and urban voters.
Very vibrant
young
people.
But when the results did not match, you know, this momentum, there was a lot of frustration.
People were frustrated because they had streamed to the polls for change only to walk away feeling very cheated. And that vital trust that they had in the ballot box was shattered, you know? Mm-hmm. When you go thinking that your leader will be elected and then you see something different. Sadly, we have been seeing the same story being written or being told across other parts of Africa. It seems like it's the same thing that we've been hearing and seeing every day.
Is it the opposition crying foul? And saying the ruling party stole the election, we were robbed. And I mean, it's 2 years after that election. Spoken to many people who supported the labor movement, the obedient movement.
Yes.
And they still hinge to the past. They're saying our victory was stolen. I'm sure you spoke to Senator Usman, and does she also harbor the same feeling?
She has. She believes that the Labour Party won the election despite the fact that Labour did not even come second in local elections the same year. So they came in third after the PDP during the 2023 elections as well. So I spoke to the senator about it to find out how the Labour Party performed and whether it was in any way a stolen victory. This is what she told us.
In 2023, after the elections, I don't know if you can remember the numbers. Labour Party had won in Lagos. We had won in Rivers. We had won in Plateau. And I want to limit my example to just those three states where Labour Party won massively, landslide. If you just pick those three states, add up what was taken away from Labour Party, We practically won that election.
So if you're saying that you won the election, what about the court's ruling? Are you in any way denying what the court's verdict was?
They did what they did, but they didn't convince Nigerians that that was what happened. Most Nigerians are aware of what happened, even though the courts decided that they started, you know, it's like you take a case to court and then you are being asked to now provide the proof. The person who should provide the proof is the INEC, because that is the referee in the game. Even the INEC refuses to provide you the information. that you need to prove your case. So it was a bit not too clean. Nigerians know that, and people are just waiting. And if things were going well, if the economy was growing, if the issue of insecurity had been reduced, if the number of children out of school had reduced, if the average the family could have 3 square meals a day, then people may not really worry much about what happened. They would maybe have stopped talking about what happened in 2023.
So, George, when I listen to the Labour Party chair, mm-hmm. I've also been watching their moves online,
yes.
Complaining that mm-hmm. their victory was stolen by the government and by INEC.
Yeah.
I can't help but wonder and ask myself whether mm-hmm. are they strategizing ahead of 2027 election that mm-hmm. will be taking place in Nigeria, or are they just out of ideas?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to, you know, cry foul that mm-hmm. Something was stolen from you, and it can be painful if your victory is stolen, maybe, mm-hmm. if you're a politician.
Of course.
Yeah, but we must appreciate that in 2027, Nigerians have another date with the ballots, mm-hmm. and they will be electing their president,
mm-hmm.
and people are organizing. We've seen the current president already endorsed. So my question is the Labour Party still crying foul, or they are also strategizing to build on the momentum that they gained during the 2023 elections?
Which is one of the questions that we asked earlier. What is Labour's strategy? I quizzed Senator Osman whether she believes that the Labour Party can actually win and deliver in 2027. And what would they be doing differently in 2027?
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to her.
We will take part in the election, certainly. But the way we are going to conduct ourselves will be totally different from what we did in 2023. Because in Hausa land, we have a saying that says that when the music changes, the dance steps have to change to suit the music.
Critics have been describing the Labour Party as a one-man movement since 2023, not a real political party, according to what critics are saying. As acting chair of the party, what are you doing to prove them wrong?
First and foremost, let's just understand. The Labour Party has always been in existence, but throughout the history of the Labour Party, it wasn't really taken seriously. And Peter successfully was able to convince the average Nigerian that you can have a better deal. And because of that, most Nigerians were convinced enough to have followed him. So the Labour Party then became bigger than it had ever been right from inception. The labor unions are part of the Labour Party. There is no village, no hamlet, no polling unit in Nigeria where you don't have a worker who belongs to one of the trade unions or one of the labor unions. So how can you say you don't have people to man polling units for you everywhere? You see, something is definitely not adding up. Something went terribly wrong. But these are the things we're trying to correct so that in future, when the Labour Party now puts forward a candidate, it will put a good foot forward and the right structures that should man all the polling units, they are there already. It's just that they were not being utilized. We will utilize them when the time comes.
So critics are saying that internal democracy in Nigerian parties is actually a myth. How is the Labour Party trying to break that pattern?
What we are trying to do is, number one, forms that you buy, expression of interest forms that you buy to contest election during primary elections, the prices have to go down. What was being charged, we believe it shouldn't be charged so much. And particularly if we do that, it's even going to favor the women, since most women cannot even afford the kind of huge sums they were talking about. And I want you to go and verify, check. In times past, when people want to contest election, ordinary primary elections in all political parties, how much were they told to pay?
You tell us, how much were people asked to pay?
Wow, it was huge.
How much?
Depending on presidential election, I think the least political parties charged for forms was like 100 million naira. For gubernatorial elections, 50 million naira. A senatorial, about 30 million or 40 thereabout. And so on, it's, you know, going down. And some, that is just the official amount you pay, apart from other underhand and under table dealings that we are fighting and believe should not be allowed.
So
if you have to pay that amount of money just because you want to replace a government that is in place,
yeah,
it means if I wake up tomorrow and say I want to run my country,
yes,
I can't, because that money is too much money.
Maybe politics is expensive. If you want to venture into that sector, it is very expensive. And that's why some people make fun that you have to invest. And then when you're elected, then you still
recover.
Recover.
No.
Yeah, you recover. That is the best term.
Yeah.
But we all know that they say elections are often won or lost at party primaries. No.
Right.
If the Labour Party can get its act together, they might have a real shot at challenging President Tinubu.
But there's something, George. Mm-hmm. Primaries only work when the political party is united.
Mm-hmm.
And within the context of the Labour Party now, there are a lot of internal disputes. We have Julius Abure claiming that he is leader of the Labour Party. And we also have Senator Usman saying that she occupies that role within the Labour Party. So it's already a lot of internal chaos to start talking about primaries, unity, and so on.
We had the case, being taken to the appellate court and also to the Supreme Court. And finally, as I was following, Abure was declared not the chairman.
So the chairman is our guest, right?
The chairman is...
But do you think Abure will give up?
He still insists that he is still the chairman.
But while we also spoke to our guest about this, this is what she had to say about the ongoing dispute within the Labour Party.
If INEC said your tenure is over, your tenure is over. No court in the land has the right to decide that in perpetuity that you remain chairman of a political party. Is it till for life? No.
So what's the state of affairs now? Is he chairman or not? And if he is not?
No, he is not chairman.
So you are
the
chairman.
I am the chairman now because his tenure is over. I am chairman, and I am chairman not because I was elected. I'm chairman because I was appointed to go and conduct congresses and national convention so that a new chairman can emerge. And he was told if he wants to continue as chairman, he can go and contest the election. But he says he doesn't want to contest, but he wants to remain chairman.
So if Nigerians are already, you got a lot of support during the previous election in Nigeria in 2023. If there are already a lot of loopholes, even within the opposition, which is the Labour Party, can Nigerians or should Nigerians trust that you can manage the affairs of the state if internal party problems cannot be handled by the party itself?
Thank you so much. This is a very important question. Nigerians know exactly what is happening and they know where the issues are coming from. If you remember, PDP has been going through the same thing. And you know who the government of the day is using in PDP to bring PDP to its knees. The same thing they are doing is what they are using Abure to do in Labour Party. So, alhamdulillah, almost every Nigerian is aware of what is happening. And that is why, we have the sympathy of the people. But people believe that before the election, before 2027, all these things will be put to an end because it's out there. Everybody knows the truth. Everybody knows that the government of the day is employing and planting moles in every political party to kill the parties.
So Senator says that Nigerians know the truth. Nigerians, you're watching. Tell us, what do you know about these problems that are plaguing the Labour Party in Nigeria?
The chairman has said, she has said that they are suspecting that it is not happening. It's not only unique to the Labour Party, but also to the PDP, which came in second in the 2023 elections.
Mm-hmm.
But under the Baobab, since we launched the show, we've built a huge community, which we call it a gang. And we are just here to steer the conversation. But the input of what matter comes from our gang members. So keep commenting on these issues. And that's why we tasked our correspondent, Omo Agareti, to go ask Nigerians.
The gang.
The gang members in Nigeria. What they think about Peter Obi and the obedient movement.
Okay, so Peter Obi is not the first political leader that came with so much vibe, so much spirit, so much enthusiasm, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I, for one, am tired of failed promises.
One thing I want with Nigeria is we should avoid these political parties. Let us start looking at individuals, not parties.
So far, I still don't think I have a candidate for the 2027 election because I've really not seen anything different about Labour Party. And I feel like they're currently not doing so much.
For me, politics is a game of strategies. So you have to be strategic, you know. You have to start planning ahead, even like maybe 8 years before. And that's one thing I saw that Sheyi Tinubu did, Bola Tinubu did. So for me, it's about being strategic.
The Labour Party is in crisis. PDP is in the worst crisis. And the only stable party now seems to be APC. So Tinubu has already entered the seat. So it's difficult removing an incumbent, except something supernatural happens.
If Peter Obi is on the ballot, irrespective of whatever party, I'm voting for him. Because even the menu for 2027 so far, I still don't see anyone better.
So many varied reactions there. Mm-hmm. I like the lady who said that it should no longer be a party issue.
Yeah.
We should start looking at the individuals, what they have to offer.
Yeah, definitely. But as we are looking into individuals, Mimi, we are today talking about Peter Obi, the star boy in the Labour Party.
Mm.
You know, he came with a wave and until people were calling it an obedient movement, yeah?
Mm.
So this is the person who's been a governor. He was, impeached and then reinstated again.
Mm-hmm.
He's vied for different offices within, you know, the political space in Nigeria.
Right.
And when he stood for presidency, we saw how he, you know, pulled the masses towards him.
Yeah, pulled the masses with, like I said earlier, we've been seeing that support a lot online. But when the election takes place, we see different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see people really going to vote for that person that we see them supporting massively online. So his supporters, they call themselves the obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Are you an obedient judge?
No, I'm not an obedient.
The reason why I'm asking, because it didn't just limit itself to Nigeria.
Are you an obedient
judge? I am not, but I met people outside Nigeria who were obedient.
Yeah.
They believed in the obedient ideology.
I mean, it was trendy, but I couldn't, you know, sink into the trend because I'm not a Nigerian.
Mm.
And I was just likely following on what people were saying online, as you've said,
mm-hmm.
because much of the activities were online.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but with the mixed reactions mm-hmm. That we've heard from Nigerians, the gang
mm-hmm.
on the streets of Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
Are they still obedient to mm-hmm. the Labour Party? And mm-hmm. are they ready to transform their online and offline support
mm-hmm.
into concrete votes? Because that's what we want to see, right?
Yes. And exactly, I keep asking myself, can the Labour Party still pull the crowds like before? Or is the Obi factor the only thing keeping them alive?
And just maybe that's why they are building coalitions with other parties.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've seen the Labour Party meeting with the leader of the other opposition parties,
the
like
PDP, yeah.
Atiku Abubakar. But the real question is, what's the end game here?
Mm-hmm.
And has Peter Obi cross-carpeted into the African Democratic Congress, the ADC, the perceived new political home for the People's Democratic Party and the Labour Party top men?
Mm-hmm.
Peter has not cross-carpeted to ADC. He's still a member of the Labour Party. He's still a card-carrying member of the Labour Party. The coalition is not a coalition of political parties. It's not a merger of political parties.
What is the place of the Labour Party within the structure of this coalition?
The Labour Party stands as an independent political party, but in talks with the coalition. Because as I told you, political parties didn't merge to form the coalition. Individuals from various political parties came together to form the coalition. And the coalition looks principally, for now, what the coalition is looking at is the presidential election come 2027.
Are there talks about leadership within the coalition? Is it going to be Peter Obi or Atiku?
Well, I don't know who it will be for now, because usually political parties, we've been saying there is no internal democracy. People should be allowed free and fair primaries.
So who would you prefer to lead the coalition? Because there has to be a leadership. There has to be a plan for people to understand that this is the coalition, these are those who are leading the coalition, but this is the presidential candidate, the flag bearer of the coalition.
Peter, I know, is going to contest, and others would want to contest. But of course, since Peter is from my home, the Labour Party, I would want him to be the to win.
So you are in other words saying that there's no unanimity so far yet within the coalition itself?
No, there isn't supposed to be unanimity right now, not at this stage. The only unanimity is in coming together, but after that, free and fair primaries will take place and one person would emerge. That is what I believe should happen.
And I believe that a genuine coalition is the only tool that the opposition can use to unseat an active government. That's what I believe, if it's genuine, if it's a genuine coalition.
Yeah, yeah, but talks are flying around that if Peter Obi and Atiku Abubakar were to merge and allow one of them to stand against Tinubu, then it will be a walkover.
That's right. No. And this time, we move to rapid fire question segment.
Definitely. This is the time where we normally step into the shed of wisdom and get to know our guests beyond the politics. And here comes the rapid fire question segment.
Madam Senator, so I'll begin the first question with your morning routine. Is it tea or coffee?
Tea.
And the books that you read, do you prefer fiction or biographies?
I prefer fiction, most often romance.
Interesting. And how about ballot paper or biometric voting?
I would go for biometric.
And a female president in our lifetime, is it a yes or no?
A yes.
Would it be you? Would it be you?
It may not be me. Let it just be a woman.
All right. And finally, Paul Biya and President Ahmed Tinubu.
None of the above. They're both old, and I think they should go and rest with their grandchildren.
That was a tough one to ask. Yeah. Whether she chooses, she will prefer Paul Biya or Bola Tinubu. Now, the Senator Usman has been a key female figure and voice in Nigerian politics. And when we see a woman, we are thinking of, we are talking about bad leadership. We are talking about the need for leadership change. Why is she not taking that place? Why is she not leading?
Why is she not leading? That is a very good question. And did you ask her if she wants to be the president?
Her answer was also categorical, no. She said no.
That is very stinging, maybe, coming from her. And I mean, you would understand that earlier on she said that the primaries form for you to just express your interest to be a flag bearer of a party, you have to pay millions of naira, and that is something that most women in that society don't cannot afford.
Yeah, but she is leading an opposition party, like I would say, it's the key opposition party in Nigeria. So I would ask myself, whether is she just self-aware that I can't and I don't have what it takes, or she's simply censoring herself to say, like in a way, just saying that she's not capable. Whereas if you look deeply into it, she can actually lead.
But maybe you will appreciate that we know a number of dynamics that are, you know, affecting most women or discouraging most women from participating or even vying for the top seat. So the question would be, do we want to deal with the laws surrounding these dynamics to make sure that we make it easier for, you know, fair inclusion and fair participation in political, spaces?
Yes, not just for women, but also for young Nigerians.
But pretty much, if you've been following the Labour Party's, you know, intrigues, it's been built around, you know, the star boy, Peter Obi.
Peter Obi, yes.
And that begs the question, should they be looking into maybe trying out someone else?
I sought to find out from her whether is she ready, first of all, to be president of Nigeria, and what her plans is also, what are her plans are within the Labour Party. Let us hear what she had to say.
Well, first, I know I'm good enough, because if I can be a minister of finance, certainly I can be a president. But for a politically difficult terrain like Nigeria, where religion, tribe, ethnicity, region counts, and also gender counts, a time is coming soon in Nigeria where it wouldn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, whether you come from the south or from the north, whether you're a Christian or a Muslim, if you are good and can lead, you are good and will be given a chance.
So when is that time? Is it 2027?
The dynamics would change a little bit, but it would not change so much as to have a woman stand a chance. We are encouraging that women should show interest and that women should be given more opportunities. But the way the whole thing is structured now, the amount of money you need to win election, most women can't afford it. When the economy is good, the women are the first to feel it. When it is bad, they are the ones to suffer it the most. Because a woman stays at home with the children. If there is money, income coming into the family, she will know how to manage it so that her children are well fed, they go to school, they look clean and good all the time. She keeps the home good. But when the husband is not able to bring back money into the home, she suffers the most because he goes out. If children are crying, he may not know until he comes back. She is wonder. So women are at the center of everything we are thinking of doing right now. And we have, as I said, we've worked out a timetable for that. The youth also, we keep saying they are the future leaders. They are the future. But when? When would that future be? I think that future is now.
The youths are there now.
Yeah.
So, George, imagine you're a politician and you run for post of president for the first time and you do not win. What would you do?
Okay, first and foremost, I will never be a politician, but just imagine, if I was a politician and I ran and lost the election, it's a time to retreat, re-strategize, but key, listen to the people.
And if the people are saying that they will not vote anymore, they are no longer interested in politics, what will be your strategy?
Because we know politics and elections are part of, democracy, and people must be part of, building democracy. So it will be upon me now to educate them the importance of them voting and not losing the hope.
So this is Africa's most populous nation we are talking about. And if any politician knows how to connect with the voters, it's easy to win. We are talking about hundreds of millions of voters here. So it just takes a good strategy in place for an opposition leader to lead.
I'm sure you asked me the question because there is a growing apathy, voter apathy in Nigeria, right?
Right.
And I'm wondering, how is Labour Party going to deal with that?
And we asked Senator Usman what the Labour Party strategy is at the moment to maybe grab voters' interest so that they can participate massively in 2027.
Most Nigerians didn't come out to vote because they believe that their votes will never count. So why do they even waste their time? You know, when you have voter apathy like this, dig in. Get to know what is the root cause. So what we are doing now is to sensitize people. But you see, I must also say that in 2023, there are people who came out because of Mr. Peter Obi and the Labour Party. There are people who came out and registered and voted for the first time in their lives, even though they are well over 18 years and should have been voting long since, but they never bothered. So what we are trying to do now is to encourage people, don't worry. Yes, you came out last time, you voted. It seems your vote didn't count, but let's not give up. Things are bound to change. But we have to decide that we want things to change, because if we do not, then they can't change.
Thank you so much, Senator, for joining us under the Baobab. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me under the Baobab.
And that is how we saw it under the Baobab this week. Labour's 2023 momentum was so big, but can they carry it into 2027?
And is the Obi factor enough to keep the party alive? Or will new strategies and coalitions be real game changers?
Also, will Nigerians finally get the leadership that they've been demanding? Or will all political habits win again? Only time and the ballot will tell.
But we want to hear from you. Do you think Labour Party can take power in 2027?
Right.
Drop your thoughts in the comments section. Share this episode and join the conversation.
And also, joining the conversation, you can find Under the Baobab on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, DW Africa YouTube channel. My name is Mimi Mefoneu.
And I'm George Okachi. Thank you for joining us Under the Baobab.
Thank you.